I love this story. This is one of my favorite, all-time favorite stories. It speaks of many different angles. I could go a million different ways on this, but I promise I keep within my 10-minute mark. What I love about it is the unrecognizing, the idea that Jesus was walking beside them and they had no idea. Now, they were pretty traumatized, I would guess, by then, because they had seen some pretty horrific things happen to their friend in the last 3 days. So they can be excused for not immediately recognizing him as he's walking beside them. And I think this has been the story of my journey. It's really easy to thank God for being with you in times of trouble, but it's also really easy to blame God for times of trouble. coronavirus, and then lately the happenings in Nova Scotia, have led to some very interesting online discussions. That's my generous word for it. But some pretty traumatic stuff has come out of this. In my own family, with people questioning, why would God let this happen? Why would God let coronavirus happen? Why would God let this guy kill all these people randomly? And I was up at 4:30 in the morning talking to my mother about this. And she was very upset. My mother lives about half a kilometer from where this guy was finally taken down in Nova Scotia. So I understand the trauma. I'm from that part of the world. My childhood home was shot up by a lunatic. And that's difficult to, on this side of the country, to take in and to process. But I also know that God is not responsible for our actions. We are responsible for our actions. There's no switch where he's going to, you know, I'll stop this now. It doesn't happen that way. I'm sure God wonders when he created humanity, why he gave us free will. He's probably thinking, oh God, those humans, they don't know what to do with their free will. They're so messed up. But that's not God's problem. That's our own evolution. We have made ourselves. We have become what we created. We created our messes. We create the systems. We create the problems. We create them, not God. And God doesn't have a responsibility to correct our mistakes. He tried that once and we killed him. the story we just heard here. It's not that easy. And it's not easy to turn off our human nature. Our human nature is something that's it's part of our DNA. It's our makeup. It's who we are. So it's easy to judge and blame and point fingers and make lots of presumptions about things that have happened or how they came into being. But that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to learn and understand and forgive and love and be aware of God's presence, even when we don't think he's anywhere near us. I've told you this before. I went kicking and screaming to my vocation in life. I recognized, though, that God was part of this. And God has to be there in these times in my life, because otherwise I wouldn't have even gone down this road. It would have been impossible. My human nature would have taken over and said, no, don't do that. Be an accountant. That's what you should be in life. Not any, get out of the spiritual religion. Oh my goodness. No, not for you. That's what I was saying. God, sorry, buddy, this is the way you're going. So stop resisting and just go. And when you look at it in a different way, when you just say, okay, I'm gonna give into this. I'm gonna let God's presence in my life be visible. Well, you either become two things. You become a religious fanatic, which I hope I'm not, or you become level-headed, which I hope I am. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't give in to my human emotions all the time, and I do. I'm aware of my humanity. I learned a new phrase this week from my spiritual advisor, and I say thank God every day for Reverend Canon Dr. Martin Brokenleg. He's the most amazing spiritual advisor, but I'd never heard the term internalized homophobia before. And I'm going to share with you, I'm going to close with this how this came to light in my life. The day before we were basically shut down as church over coronavirus, we had a team meeting. And at the very end of that meeting, one of my colleagues stood up and asked if if it was okay to tell Patrick to stay home for his own well-being this week. And I was, that just hit me like an emotional brick on the side of my head. And I was trying to figure out why I ran from the room crying. And Martin explained it to me. He said, internalized homophobia means that you have spent your life trying to correct something that you that the world told you was wrong. And you, while I'm happy always to listen to other people and to care for anybody who comes across my my portal, I do not accept care very well. And that's because of that internalized homophobia, that I believe that I'm still somewhere inside me, I believe I'm not worthy of that kind of love and affection and care from other people. And that's difficult to come to terms with at the age of 55. I thought I had dealt with these things. And it just proves to me again that God, in the midst of that group of people, gave me that gift, gave me the gift of humanity looking after me. And that's a pretty big revelation to me. So two things come of that. I am worthy of care, but I'm also responsible to care. And I take that responsibility really seriously. I am constantly amazed by people who just can't get past the selfish version of being in this situation. I need to get my hair cut. Well, yeah, I do too. It's getting too long. I can't stand it, actually. But that's tough. Too bad. Deal with it. This is a world that we're all not used to. This is a new thing for all of us. And we need to find Jesus walking beside us in this. And while that may be difficult, it's still real. I think there's a bit of it's a new awakening for all of us. It's the great equalizer. Guess what? Coronavirus doesn't care if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're Caucasian, if you're Black. Coronavirus doesn't care. And that equalization of humanity hopefully brings the human race to understand that race is one race, the human race. And that may take care of some racism, might take care of some homophobia, might even take care of uneducated rich white presidents. Did I say that out loud? I think that it's really important that we learn from this that love is the bottom line in all of this. When Jesus was walking beside those disciples, he was trying to show them that I'm still here. I'm going to be here. Look for me. Talk to me. And maybe when we all understand that, then we can work together to eradicate things like coronavirus, eradicate things like racism, and eradicate things like homophobia. All these things that divide us, that put us and them in these categories, those might go away, might. We just have to keep working on it. I will close and ask you to pray for my family in Nova Scotia. They're having a very difficult time processing this this latest tragedy, as am I. And the travel restrictions make it worse because I'm not too sure, by a phone call, what kind of state people are in. But they need our prayers. They don't need people to compare or judge or even try to get them through it at any faster than they need to go through it. I always tell people about grieving. Grieving can take a month, it can take a year, it can take 25 years. That's your process. And we can't impose our idea of what should be right in process on somebody else. It doesn't work that way. So I just ask for prayers for my family down east because it's really a difficult time for them. And thank you for all being here this morning. Amen.